Anyway, so yeah, I'm just I got my hair cut a little bit, and it's kind of doing me a little. I'm giving mushroom penis head a little bit.
I just gave myself a crew cut earlier today, so.
Yeah, your problem's not like mine. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Dustin Can Read and Watch. I'm your host, Dustin, of course. And here with me today is Hiko Mitsuzuka. Is that how you say your name? Okay, I want to make sure because I've never said it before. I've only read it. So,
No, you got it.
Hiko is a friend I made on Instagram. He has an account called the Fear Street Diaries, at Fear Street Diaries, if you want to find it there. And there you go. He was raised on Fear Street. I have that shirt too. and we, yeah, we grew to get to know each other over Fear Street and other things like that. He got to go to the premiere of the movies, and it was just awesome. And found out a lot of stuff about him. I actually finally got to meet him when I went to LA in October, which was great. It was so much fun. And yeah, so I wanted to have him on because Hiko is a writer. And from what a lot of you might know, if you've been listening this season, is that I'm trying to accomplish goals in my life. And right now I'm in the middle of coming up with a story for my book. I'm going to write a book. I had the story in my head, but then I thought, you know, I started writing it and it wasn't fleshed out. And so I'm trying to get some help in that area. And I've been talking to my writer friends who have been novelists and, you know, have sold things, and they've been great help. But I wanted to talk to somebody who did something a little bit different with writing. You do a lot of journalism mostly, and a lot of I know you've traveled and done some traveling journalism or articles or whatnot. And I know you've obviously you write pop culture stuff, sure. So I wanted to talk to you about that side of things because I used to write for my school newspaper, and so I wanted to bring that up with you here in a minute, but yeah, Hiko, before we get into all that, let's talk about what we've been reading and watching lately. And let's start off with reading. What you've been reading lately?
I am in the middle of a recent Buffyverse trilogy. I think it's called In Every Generation. It's the first book. It's the first book of a trilogy that introduces like a new generation of Scoobies, for those of you who are familiar with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it's about Willow, who Willow's daughter, Frankie, becomes imbued with the Slayer powers, and she becomes the Slayer. Even though it takes place in the TV show's universe, there's like a big terrorist attack on all the Slayers across the world, and she becomes like the new Slayer and adjusts to that. And it's cool. Spike is in it. Oz comes back. I'm a huge Buffy nerd, and I haven't read anything Buffy related since the season 8 comic that came out like 10 years ago. And I'm also reading, I'm kind of balancing it with two other books of essays by some of my favorite writers. The first one is Quietly Hostile by Samantha Irby, and she's just this hilarious essayist who just writes about her life and like ties it to like, you know, cultural moments in the zeitgeist. And she was actually she's a writer on the Sex and the City reboot and Just Like That.
Oh, okay.
She's one of the writers on the show, but she had this new book. It's her fourth book of essays, Quietly Hostile, that came out, I think it came out like a year ago. And then the other book of essays is by Roxane Gay. It's called Opinions, and it's just a collection of her, you know, her most famous essays from the past 10 years. And she's a big like culture critic who I really look up to, and she's really great.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely look into those. I have actually read the Buffy Next Generation books. I don't know if what the third one is yet. I don't know if it's come out yet, but I've read the first two, and they're pretty great. I love them. And it, you can clearly tell that it was written like, oh, I hope this gets adapted. That you can totally tell that's what she's doing in these books. You're like, she's, and she did it well though. She explained how things happen the way they do. And
yeah. And it's, it really, like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't read it, but it, in the beginning of the book, it explains how Willow got pregnant with her daughter.
Yeah.
And it's when it goes back to the series finale of Buffy, and she was channeling the power of the Slayer through the scythe from the original Slayer. And she got imbued with, I don't know, Slayer powers, and it was like an immaculate conception.
Yeah, they basically, I know she says something like, basically the dad is the first Slayer whatever. And it happened like a year, almost 2 years after she had done that, like is when she showed up pregnant, like it was waiting. Which I thought was neat. I like how they explain, I like how Spike shows up, and this is all in the setup of the book. So like he's going to be her watcher. And the cool thing is they totally wrote it to where James Marsters now can totally play this part because they age Spike up and
like a glamour.
Yeah. A glamour. So I'm like, oh, perfect. So like in one episode, they'd have to do some CGI and that's it. And then the rest, he can just look like his normal self, which would be perfect. Yeah. I would totally love to see it. I think they should do it. I think they should go ahead and make this, go ahead and make it into a series.
And I don't have an Audible account, or I do, but I don't pay for Audible. So I kind of missed the new Slayers series with most of the original cast that came out not too long ago. I take it you've listened to it.
Oh yeah. I have an Audible account. They decided that Audible's not doing a second season because apparently Disney that owns the rights apparently to Buffy, I guess. Yeah. They're like, we're not doing a second season. I'm like, why is that? Cause apparently there's rumor that they might be working on something, but we don't know yet. So I hope it's good if it is. And I hope it's like, cause I like this book series, like her name's Kendara Blake.
Yeah.
I like that book series. I think it'd be a good way to push the story forward, feeling new, but also feeling classic at the same time. I think that would be perfect. And eventually just kind of phase the adults out more and make it more about the kids like they've done in past shows when they do reboots.
Well, and there's so much source material they can adapt from because when the show ended, they did like the seasons 8, 9, and 10 in the comic book. There's been so many novels and prequel novels and
they can reference the events and all these things and make it into their own and still kind of keep it canon and within the universe. You know, that'd be great. I would love that. I think that'd be really cool, which is, I got into a Buffy kick because I started rewatching Buffy for the rewatch recap. And then I ended up rewatching all of Angel. And then I was like, I want to listen to these books now. And I got into that. I was like, man, this is great. So, and of course the Slayers Audible series. So that was great too.
Yeah,
I highly recommend getting it. I mean, just to listen to that, it's great. It's like little mini Buffy episodes.
I should. Yeah, I really should.
Yeah, they're like 40 to 50 minutes each. And there's like 6 to 8, something like that, episodes of it.
Yeah.
And it's that technology where it sounds like if you close your eyes, it felt like they were talking and moving and fighting all around you, you know?
Yeah.
It's really cool. You know, like when you go to Disney and you sit in that room and you listen to Mickey Mouse get interviewed by these guys, you know what I'm talking about? You ever do that
at Disneyland or Disney?
Yeah. I know at Disney World they had, I don't know if they have it at Disneyland. At Disney World, used to be MGM Studios. They had this room you would go and they were trying to show you all the different effects they can do with sound and, you know,
oh yeah.
So they sit you in a room and I don't know if you put headphones on. I think you do. You put headphones on and then they play the audio and it sounds like, it's a group of guys having a meeting and they're waiting for the boss or the client to show up. And then the guy comes in and it's actually Mickey Mouse. And you hear him walking around the room. You hear things being picked up or spilled or whatever. And it's kind of like 3D hearing type of thing.
Oh, I don't know. I did something where it was a long time ago at like MGM Studios or now it's called Disney Hollywood Studios. but it involved Murder, She Wrote and like, you were on a sound stage and making the sound effects. But that
like Foley artist stuff.
Yeah, that was something totally different.
Yeah, no, I did that too. Yeah, I totally did that too. Yeah, I thought that was it was, that was fun. I love the Foley artist thing. They do that there, and they also do it at Universal. They used to do it at Universal. They used to do a Foley thing.
Oh,
there.
Maybe that's where I did it.
It was on one of those two.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, because I'd gone to Universal Studios in Florida for the first time. God, that was like...
It probably was Universal because we're in the same age range. So
it was 98, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, totally. I think I went, I've been there like three or four times, and it's like 96 to 97 era. So it's probably around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was always fun. You definitely got to check out Slayers. As far as what I'm reading, actually, I'm reading, like I was talking about, the writing thing that I'm doing, and I'm trying to get better. I'm actually doing the Audible of Save the Cat Writes a Novel.
Which, okay.
And if you don't know, Save the Cat is, it's a famous like step-by-step guide on how to write the best Hollywood script or whatever. And this woman is like, hey, this could actually work for a book. And so she's taken it and a step further and kind of giving you the ideas of how to arrange your book to be the best version of that it can be. And which I already have the story idea. It's just how I'm laying it out and what I'm focusing on and whatnot that I'm needing help with. So, and you know, I want to get it planned out more and be more confident in the story before I really get started. Cause I already started that and I got like 5,000 words in. And I'm like, this is not where I wanted to go. And so I had to stop. I was like, I can't keep going cause it'll be a completely different thing than I want it to be. So I wanted to go back and start over. So yeah, that's what I'm currently reading, in between random things for, the book club for Dustin Can Read and Watch. Cause this month we're doing Win, Lose, Kill, Die by Cynthia Murphy.
Yeah. I saw that on your posts.
Yeah. It's a YA thriller. It's British and it's just now getting published stateside, along with her first one, which was Last One to Die, which just got published in March here, which is great. I've read that one. That was awesome. And I can't wait to read this one. She's gotten pretty notable. I think the current queen, went to schools and was talking to kids. And this is one of the ones, I think this was one of the ones that was mentioned to her and it was noted on camera and everything. She's like, oh my goodness, what? You know, it was just funny. And I think it was one, or it's another Cynthia Murphy book, if anything. But yeah, as far as TV, or, you know, preferably TV, because I'm a TV guy. What are you watching lately?
Yeah, I watch a lot. Well, I always, you know, keep up to date with SNL every week. I am watching the Hulu series Death and Other Details. It's like the murder mystery limited series with Mandy Patinkin, who's playing like a Hercule Poirot type of detective on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I saw something about that and I was like, this looks Agatha Christie-esque.
Yeah, it opens, it's co-created by Mark Webb, who I think directed 500 Days of Summer. You get the feeling, first of all, I think it's 10 episodes, which I think is a little long. The plot and the story, I feel like, is kind of getting dragged out. There's a lot of characters to keep track of. I just finished episode 5, so I'm only halfway through. And it started off interesting. And I think it's produced by or distributed by ABC because it shows up as an ABC Signature Studios production.
Okay.
So you get the feeling that it, at one point in time, maybe it was trying to be sold as a broadcast network show. But now that it's on Hulu, there's like nudity and cursing. And it's an Agatha Christie type of mystery. It's interesting. It starts off really interesting and cool. But I'll, you know, I'll eventually finish it. And then my boyfriend and I are watching the new Feud.
Okay.
Capote versus the Swans, which we only have 2 episodes left. And then we have 2 episodes left of True Detective Night Country.
Okay. You get a lot of murder mystery going on.
And to continue that theme, I'm also addicted and waiting for the finale of The Traitors on Peacock.
Oh, okay. You're one of the Traitors people. I tried it. I couldn't do it.
Well, you know what? I am not... With the exception of what I watch Real Housewives of New York because I'm from New York originally. I know those types of personalities. That's the only reality show I watch. Reality competition shows, I rarely watch. The last one I watched was like So You Think You Can Dance, like 10 years ago. I'm not a reality person, but The Traitors, the first season, I was like sucked in. Alan Cumming camps it up to perfection as a host. And I was hesitant with the new season of The Traitors because the whole cast is all reality TV stars. And I was like, ugh. But they know how to work the camera. They know how to be produced. It really is a good dynamic. And then eventually I also started the UK versions, The Traitors UK. And in that version, it's all regular people who are competing in this Scottish castle. And I was told that's a really good, it's a different watch, but it's a really good watch because it's these real people, non-celebrity people competing and striving for like that cash prize. So, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to watch it because I like the murder mystery. There was one a few years back, a little more comical, but it was fun. It was called Whodunit. I don't know if you saw it. It came on ABC, and it was like a classic, like in a mansion, and they're killing off contestants one by one, and somebody is the bad guy who's been a mole the whole time, and you have to figure it out, and it gets down to certain people, and you don't want to be killed. You don't want to, you know, all that kind of stuff, and. It was really fun. And like the butler was the one who would announce things every day. And it was all, you know.
How long ago was this?
This, I want to say almost a decade ago. Mm-hmm. But it was a fun show. And like, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, especially competition shows. When I do, it's like the first few seasons. But then it's like after the first few seasons, people know the game and know how to play it and then know how to get on camera more. It's like, it feels very produced after like the first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel as real anymore. So I'm like, I'm done.
And they try to switch up the formula. And I have to say, I haven't been this riveted by a reality competition show since 24 years ago with the first season of Survivor.
Oh, wow. Ew.
Yeah. That was the last. Yeah. I watched the first season of Survivor and that was it. I never watched anything else really.
Yeah.
Between now and then.
Yeah. I just don't do it. I used to do Drag Race. I watched the first 10 seasons of that.
And I got roped into watching Drag Race as well. This current season.
Yeah. I can't. And then after that, I've tried to watch other ones, other newer seasons. I'm like, I don't care. This all feels so fake and forced now. I just couldn't get into it. So yeah. Come at me, everybody who loves Drag Race. I don't care. You can like it. I don't have to. All right. So that's what we're going to say about that. For me, lately, like I've been doing a lot of the rewatches and whatnot. But other than what I'm doing for the rewatch recap, I've been, you know, sticking all these shows have been coming back finally after the strikes are over. You know, you got your Abbott Elementary and I like.
Oh, yeah. I watched that too.
Not Dead Yet. I like Not Dead Yet. That's fun. There's a few others here and there. But the one that's coming back in March and it should be out by the time this comes out is called Extraordinary and it's on Hulu. And it's a great show. It's about a world. It's a half hour comedy, a world full of people with superpowers. You get superpowers at age 18, except the main character who never got them. She's like 25 now. She never got superpowers. And everybody around here have superpowers, but they all still have problems, you know, and unique superpowers, too. Some of them are bad. Some of them are really bad.
It's British, right? It's a British show?
Yeah. It's British. It's so much fun. It kind of feels like it should be in like the Misfits universe, but like the other side of the, you know, the spectrum of it's not dark and bad things aren't happening. It's just like comical and silly, you know, but she's trying to like navigate the world. Should she get a power? Should she go to the power place and help, you know, get powers or should she not? Should she just be okay with being herself? You know, she's trying to find love. She's trying to get a better job. All this stuff is going on. So it's just, you know, I like it. I think it's fun. It's a good escapism, you know, and
yeah,
I hate that it's only a half hour. I wish it were longer episodes and more episodes, but that's how it be. and I'm excited for it. But yeah, that's what I've been watching or will be watching.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know. So, other than that, I wanted to talk to you about your writing. Mainly, we'll just kind of start from the beginning. Like, how did you get into it? How did your whole writing journey start, would you say?
Well, I feel like one of those old timers who said, I've always been writing since, you know, I remember as a little kid, I was always writing short stories in like big spiral notebooks. I was always, because I was a big bookworm, and I was always drawn to scary material and horror. And I think I would emulate in my short stories, you know, I think I dug out an old spiral notebook too. Like as early as like 8 or 9, I remember. And that led to like writing in school newspapers, like you did. And then by college, in high school and college, I liked the idea of like creating TV shows and writing for TV. And that's what I majored in at Boston University. And then, yeah, I did this alumni networking trip out in LA my senior year, and that's what sold LA to me. And I moved out to LA like shortly after college, after graduating, and didn't quite work as a TV writer, but I worked in TV production and then kind of got into commercial production and marketing and advertising. And for the past 10 years, I've been, you know, working as a copywriter, which is basically any kind of creative that goes into a TV commercial, a billboard, posters, digital, social media content. And all throughout that, you know, for the past 12, 13 years as well, I moonlighted as like a pop culture entertainment journalist. I wrote for a digital magazine called Bellow Mag. I also wrote for Instinct Magazine. I had this blog site called Hotter in Hollywood. And so while I had my day job, when I was an assistant and then when I became a writer, I also like hustled and like was doing my own thing on the side. And it kind of led to some really cool opportunities, especially when I got asked, I kind of pitched an idea to do a road trip article for Instinct Magazine. I think that's what kind of planted me in like travel writing. And so when you become a travel writer, you kind of develop relationships with publicists in the hospitality industries, travel industries. So you get to write about hotels and new restaurants, and you work with all the representatives who work with tourism boards. And so I got to travel to some really cool places just for free trips and to write about my experience. So that was always, a dream of mine was always to travel. And so I kind of used this travel writing side hustle as my way to like, you know, go around the world. And while still doing some entertainment journalism with my website, Hotter in Hollywood, it kind of became this own little media outlet. I would go to some red carpet events. I went to press junkets where I got to interview celebrities. And this also coincided with Bellow Magazine, where I interviewed whatever celebrities they were going to have on their cover. So yeah, that it kind of all lived together side by side. But most recently I've been, you know, having worked in marketing and advertising, that's what's been trying to pay the bills. And, but always in the back of my mind, I knew I always wanted to write a thriller novel based on, you know, knowing that you and I share a love of Fear Street and
yeah,
of all the books that we grew up on, and young adult thrillers and horror. I'm about to finish. I'm like 4 chapters away from finishing a thriller novel.
Yay.
It's awesome. My second one, but the first one was a hard sell because I had like a YA type premise, but the tone and voice was too adult. And I had gotten an agent through it. And she was helpful, but I was her first fiction writer that she took on. And I met her through a friend of mine who introduced us. And I was with her for like a little over 2 years. And, you know, she hustled for me. And it was a definite learning experience, because the book ended up being kind of a tough sell. And so then I had another idea for another book. And it's actually been taking me 6 years to finish. And I had sent out, I always had a pitch, like a treatment for the book. And I had sent it out to some agents. And I had an agent who was interested in it a year ago, but she wanted to see the full manuscript. Like put my butt in gear to like finish it. And so it's taken me a long time. The last couple of years in my life, like had a lot of curveballs thrown at me personally and family wise, but.
I understand. You know, I understand.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks, I'm actually going to finish the first full draft of the manuscript and send it out and see if she likes it. Maybe send it out to other agents so that I could really get someone to champion it and, you know, believe in it and get it to a good publisher. So
that's awesome. Is this also a YA tone or is it adult tone like thriller?
It's more adult tone.
Okay.
But it's one of the characters is a young adult novelist.
All right.
So that's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. I like that. Okay. Yeah, we do have a lot of similar background in things. Although you went to school for your stuff, I did not. School just was not for me. I just can't do school. I can't do it. I can't concentrate. I can't pay attention. It just doesn't happen. It's probably ADHD, which I was never fully diagnosed, but I'm fairly certain it is because I just can't. You're talking sometimes, not just you, anybody, and my mind wanders. And it's not because I'm not trying to listen. It's because, oh, you reminded me of something. And then it's just like, wait, go back.
Did you become a Ritalin kid or?
No, I never have been diagnosed.
Oh, okay.
So I've never had medicine for it.
I think I've heard of people who have taken Ritalin just to like, it really focuses your attention. I always like thought, oh, that would be great to finish a book.
I think it was because my cousin has ADHD and like has one of those severe cases. You're like, whoa, bouncing off the walls type of, you know, and then I wasn't like that. So they were like, oh, well, he's fine then. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like the other guy. Yeah. And I'm like, I still needed some help too, guys. So a lot of other things happen in my life too. It's also, you know, it sidetracks you, you know, and then sometimes you get to a certain point, you really were into the idea. And then after some life experience and you haven't gotten to it and you finally think about it, you're like, you know what? I really don't want to do that now. I want to do something else. And so then you start over.
Life has a way of beating you down, but sometimes you can, you know, you find a way to pick yourself up.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you will come back to something later on, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, crap, this was a good idea. Why did I keep going with this? You know, but, you know, that's just how it is. That's how it works sometimes, you know. So I wanted to ask you because, like I've said, I'm getting into this writing journey and everything. And you've written one in three-fourths of a book, basically. And I've never finished a book. I mean, I've finished a lot of short stories, done a lot of short stories. I probably could fill a book with short stories. Mm-hmm. But I've never like done a full, big, long story, you know, of in a novel form. So that's the challenge for me and me keeping concentrated and into it because, you know, of life in general, you know, which is also, it can put you off. You know, if you're stressed out and anxious all the time, sometimes that creative flow just ain't flowing. You know, sometimes you get sucked into doing social media so much that it just sucks the freaking creativity right out of your head. And you're just like, I can't think, scroll, you know, zombified by it all. And that's the downfall of our modern society, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh,
well, but to combat that, bringing that up, I talked to you about, hey, you know, let's stretch our creative muscles. Sometimes you just need a little, I don't know, a little push. And exercise. Even if it's a little exercise, a little brainstorm exercise. I like a couple of years ago. Oh my God, when was it? 2021? Yeah, I think that's when I sent to you. I just did it on Instagram for fun. I posted some things in my stories and said, hey, choose one of these, or, you know, give me something somebody might say, or give me a random object. And people just sent me stuff. And I was like, I'm going to use all of this. I'm going to put all of this in a short story. And I did. And I put it on Wattpad or whatever that site is. And it got like voted into like one of the top 10 stories of Final Girl stuff at the time. You know, and for the age range, it was a YA type of thing. I don't know if you read it. Did you read it? I don't know if you did.
I unfortunately did not.
It's okay. It was fun. It was a fun little, like, it's kind of got, you know, it's got Final Girl-ish storyline going with it. It's not perfect, but I was just kind of writing
it. I remember seeing your post about it. Yeah.
So yeah, check it out if you want to. I'll try to see if I can post something about it again in my stories on Instagram so people can check it out. So I wanted to do that again. And I thought, hey, let's do that together. I'd never done that. And I was like, all right, we're going to have story A and story B. And I said, guys, give me suggestions for story A. Give me suggestions for story B. I literally flipped a coin and said, all right, if it lands on heads, then I get story A. And I got story A. Hiko got story B. So what I want to do is I want us to read out the things that the other, because we're going to read each other's stories. And I know. Are you nervous about it? I haven't looked at yours yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I haven't read it at all. Nothing. I have not read it.
Oh, anything. I gave yours a quick read through just to, so I could get in the voice of it.
Yeah. No, didn't do that. So you're going to do mine first since I'm story A. You're going to read mine first, but I'm going to give the setup of what I got as far as the prompts. Okay. For story A. So my setting was the suburbs. The hero was a teen girl, which I think is the same thing you got. My random objects that I got were a black cat, a potato, a candlestick, a cider press, a candle, and an inhaler. Random lines of dialogue, someone says. I got four. One was, oh, hamburgers like Butters in South Park. WTF is your problem. Have you got a match? I didn't do it, but I know who did it. So those are the lines I got. So okay. Hiko, take it away with my story.
Yes. And I just excuse me in advance too. I'm getting over a cough, so I might like hack up a lung later on, but anyway, okay. I should be good. Okay. The story. Molly couldn't believe what was happening at her party. Cassie Barbs and Michaela McSutton were completely high off pot brownies Cassie made. If Molly's mom caught them, they'd all be in trouble. As Mrs. Fields always said, you are who you hang with. She always punished Molly for her friend's shenanigans, guilt by association. So with Cassie and Michaela giggling in a corner, Molly was really hoping her mom wouldn't come home early and catch them. Molly had just turned 16 years old. She had her driver's license, finally. If her mom caught wind of what was going on, she'd be banned from driving until she graduated. Oh, hamburgers like Butters in South Park, Cassie said, before bursting out laughing at some cartoonish impression Michaela was doing across the room. They're kind of out of it, came a voice from behind her. She quickly turned to find Chris Barbs, Cassie's older brother. Her thoughts of the stoned teenagers melted away as she looked at Chris's smile, his eyes, the tiny mole next to his left eyebrow, the way his hair would fall down and he had to flick his head back to get it out of his face. She sighed, oh, to be that hair. Molly? She snapped out of her daze. Yes, they are on another planet right now, she said a bit too enthusiastically. Was she always a cliche when it came to her crush? Could she just not be a dork for once? Suddenly, she felt something tickle her ankle and press against her leg. Surprised, she yelped as she jumped into Chris's arms before remembering it was probably just her cat. Chris was caught off by her reaction, but he didn't push her away. She reveled in this and took in his sweet but musky scent. Achoo! Chris said. Molly looked up as Chris continued to sneeze. This, of course, set off a chain reaction which led him to fumbling in his pockets in a panic. Molly didn't understand what was going on. Chris began to gasp as he ran over to the chair that everyone had piled their coats on, throwing jackets aside until he found his. She realized he was looking for his inhaler, which he finally found had fallen out of his pocket and onto the floor. "Okay, who let Maxine out?" Molly said, picking up her black American short hair and putting him back in the laundry room. Upon returning, Cassie and Michaela immediately came up to Molly, begging for her to cut her cake already. Molly told them they had to wait until her mother returned from the store with the party plates and plastic forks. She told them to eat another piece of pizza and try to sober up as they rolled their eyes at her. Molly tried to check on Chris, but was stopped by Marcy Golden, who quickly told her, "I didn't do it, but I know who did it. She was referring to who let her cat out and quickly pointed her finger toward the kitchen. Molly immediately turned the corner to find Cassie and Michaela stuffing a potato into Mrs. Field's cider press in an attempt to make their own vodka. Molly flew off the handle. They had absolutely destroyed the kitchen trying to find alcohol and thought this was the best solution. "WTF is your problem?" Michaela asked as Cassie snatched the potato out of her hand. "You are. I can't believe you did this. Don't you realize what my mom is going to do when she gets..." The lights suddenly went out and the music stopped. Oh great, a blackout, Molly thought. Just one more thing to go wrong tonight. "Need any help?" came a voice behind her. It was Chris. She swooned. "Have fun, you two," Cassie laughed as she snuck Michaela out of the kitchen, giggling. Molly rolled her eyes at them and sighed. Chris let out a small laugh and looked at her. The streetlight from outside cast them in a warm orangey glow. The lines from the window pane streaked across their faces as they stood in silence. She was always so weak in the knees for Chris, but after seeing his panic attack earlier, she felt a sense of calm come over her. The vulnerability he showed gave her a boost of confidence as he reached up to tuck her hair behind her ear. Gazing in her eyes, he began to lean forward slowly. His lips were slightly parted as he began to close his eyes. There was an urgency in his breath as he came closer. "Have you got a match?" Molly held up a box of candles and a candlestick from the drawer behind her. She was suddenly not interested anymore. Dumbfounded, Chris shook his head. What just happened? "No worries," Molly said, turning around. "I found a lighter." She closed the drawer and went back to the party. "Hey guys, screw the plates. Who's ready for cake?" The end.
Yay! You know, it's funny. I wrote that so fast. I did not remember most of that. And I wrote it like only a few hours ago. Right before I sent it to you, I was like, right, boom, send. So yeah, that's so funny. I was like, did I write that?
I feel like I need to preface my writing because I it was such a challenge because we agreed to do it like at least 500 words.
Yeah. I know. I was like, at least 500.
We both went over, but then I was reeling because I've been in such a mode of like not, you know, writing my novel and like, oh my God, I had to like reconfigure my brain and like how to do a short story.
Mm-hmm. And how to fit, make something interesting fast.
Yeah.
Make sense fast. Yeah. It's harder. Yeah. It can definitely be harder.
Yeah.
Make it simple. But yeah. Okay. So story B, what were your prompts?
So my prompts, it had to take place in the city or the country. It was a tie for that. Again, the hero is a teen girl like yours. Mm-hmm. Random objects must include a coffee cup, a back scratcher, Stanley cup, a gargoyle, an umbrella, a Lego minifigure, and a cat. Random lines, someone says. I need coffee. I didn't think there was anyone in here. Oh no, not the blender. Ketchup was once sold as medicine.
I'm going to tell you who said that right now. Shelly from Tales of Point Horror. She's the one who said ketchup was once sold as medicine. That was hers.
Thank you, Shelly.
I can hear her saying it too. Like, ketchup was once sold as medicine. Like, I can, you know. Anyway. Okay. So I'm about to read. He goes, I've never read it before. So if I laugh or say, I'm going to react to it as I go along. So okay. Here we go. Story B by Hiko Mitsuzuka. Once she had made it past the barricade surrounding the fallen city, Olivia followed the highway at dawn, just like Uncle Ray had instructed her, past the abandoned cars and untamed weeds. I believe in you, Livy, he had whispered to her the day before her 18th birthday. He had helped her gather any remaining supplies they could find for her journey. like an umbrella for the inevitable wet weather and several packets of ketchup. Ketchup was once sold as medicine, Uncle Ray had told her. He was a font of random knowledge and trivia. After 3 hours of walking, she found the exit she was looking for. She stopped to open her backpack and take out the large tumbler she had filled with water. It was an early birthday gift from her uncle, a large container that was, according to him, a highly coveted item in the early 2020s. It was pale blue, and the name Stanley was printed in thick letters on one side. She quietly thanked whoever the Stanley person was. She lifted the tall cup to her lips and quenched her thirst. Once she reached the top of the exit ramp, she found a moped laying on its side. It looked like it was in fairly good condition, and the keys were still in the ignition. After three tries, she managed to get it running. She let out a whoop as the vehicle puttered underneath her. Maybe she could reach her destination before nightfall. She hoped for the best as it carried her further north, through empty towns and villages, and along winding country roads. The moped finally puttered out its last breath as she made her way into the mountains on foot. The air smelled better up here, cleaner. The sun was setting, and she pushed herself forward as the pine trees loomed over her silent guardians. Then she saw the sign for Lake Rutherford. The pavement gave way to a dirt road, and the dirt road narrowed into a path that eventually brought her to the lake house. It was beautiful, just like Uncle Ray had described. Big windows, gabled roofs, and a wraparound porch. The gate to the property was open, a lone gargoyle perched atop the stone column on the left side. It was an unusual sight. Olivia had seen these creatures in the ledges of some of the crumbling buildings in the city. The house itself was a more welcome sight, and she quickened her pace as the night sky darkened. She needed to get inside, and using her flashlight, she walked up to the front door. Thankfully, it was unlocked, and she let herself in. "Hello?" a voice said before she could get her bearings. Startled, she aimed her flashlight toward the voice and found a young man, around her age, standing in the kitchen, illuminated by several candles. An orange cat jumped up onto the counter, joining him. "I didn't think there was anyone here," Olivia said. "Sorry for startling you," the young man said. "You must be Olivia. Your uncle told me so much about you." "And you must be Adam." "Of course." Olivia stepped further into the room. The place was well furnished, cozy. "Make yourself at home," Adam said, opening his arms, allowing Olivia to get accustomed to the space. "It's not much, but I'm sure we can make it work." He moved to the stove where a tea kettle started to whistle. "Want anything to drink?" "I need coffee. I've been craving it forever." "I'm okay, thanks," she said, clocking some supplies that were laid out on the dining table. Besides the medical equipment and some non-perishable food packs, there were random pieces that included a jar of instant coffee, a coffee cup, a blender, a collection of miniature figures, and a carved wooden stick that looked like a back scratcher. "They're called Lego figures," Adam said as he picked up one of them. "I found them in a box upstairs. Kids love to play with these in the before times." "Cute," Olivia observed, taking off her backpack in one quick swoop, the heavy bag swinging around her side and colliding with the blender on the table. The glass pitcher fell to the floor, shattering into pieces. "Oh no, not the blender!" Adam cried. "I'm sorry!" Olivia apologized, freezing up. "I'm such a klutz. And to think I was going to whip us up some protein smoothies for breakfast in the morning," he said, and at that moment, Olivia picked up the sarcasm in his voice. "Very funny." "Well, the world may be dead," Adam said, pouring hot water into the coffee cup, "but humor lives on." He added a scoop of instant coffee crystals, gave it a stir, and then raised his drink. "Welcome to the rebirth of civilization." The end. I like that twist. It felt, you know what it kind of reminded me of? Because I read this in school, and I brought this up on the podcast before. The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. It gave me like that kind of twist, like, oh, they happen to be on Mars. Like, that's what it feels like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I guess I went bleak and apocalyptic.
Yeah, you're like, all right, well, I don't know what the hell's happening, but we're going to make it seem like something else is happening. Like, yeah. Like, is she going out on a hunt? Is she going to go, she's going to explore the world? And I'm like, she just picks up some random moped? Okay. That's pretty awesome. That's great. Good job.
I wrote that today. You too.
Pat selves on back right there. There we go. We did good. We did good. I think we got this writing thing. I think we got it. Yeah. So so my story, my
it novel felt like that an I'm 80s working teen on, movie.
Mine did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of did a little bit. Yeah, because I didn't have any phones, anybody texting anybody or anything like that. Yeah, it kind of felt like it. It's probably because I went and saw Lisa Frankenstein recently, and that was kind of in the back of my head, you know? Yeah,
okay. I can see that.
I don't know. Have you seen that yet?
I did.
Okay. It was fun. It kind of felt like it was trying to be like a Heathers or Jawbreaker type thing, but, you know, a little over the top and a little absurd, but
yeah,
it was just fun. I don't think it was supposed to be like awesome cinematography or anything like that, but you know, like it was just kind of a thing that happened. That's basically what it was. It kind of felt like it could have gone to Netflix and it would have been fine, the same thing, you know, but it was still a fun show. I do think that they underused Cole Sprouse. I will give that totally. I wanted him to speak more.
Yeah, I think that's what attracted him to the role. It gave him, I think I saw an interview. I listened to Diablo Cody, who wrote it. She was on a podcast that I listened to. And that Cole Sprouse was like so gung-ho on having a part that involved him to act in a different way. And like,
yeah, not having to talk. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I mean, that's a challenge, you know, and it's not too big of a challenge to where it's not, you know, but at the same time, it's like, I want to do something different. I get it. I get that.
Yeah.
It was a fun little movie, you know, it wasn't like spectacular, but it's fun to watch. So if you want to check it out, go check it out. But that is the type of vibes that was in my head. Yeah, totally. I'm thinking like crimps and ponytails. And
I kept hearing an 80s like score or soundtrack in the background when I read
it. Yeah, a record player's playing or tape deck. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you take, you build, and you change it again, you know, and
yeah,
it's what you do. There's not many original ideas left, completely original, you know. That we know of, but we'll see. We'll see how we get there. Thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah. And best of luck on your writing journey. Cause it's, it's, you know, I wish it didn't take as long, but you know, you eventually get there.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that once I get everything that I know it's supposed to happen, as you know, I think that I'll be able to, because I cranked out those 5,000 words in like just a few hours, and I was like, and I was like, it's good. But it just wasn't, I was like, no, this isn't the direction I want it to go. This feels like a different narrative than me, you know? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I always wonder if like why it took so long for me, because I'm like, having been an editor and like edited other people's work, I'm like, my own worst enemy almost, because I'm constantly, as I'm writing, I'm also editing. So it's like I'm putting double the work, it feels like sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Stop yourself like, no, go back. No, that's not. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm like, yeah, the outline whole thing, and it's got to happen. I got to do it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it does help. But then when you start writing, even if you are following an outline, like I find out, oh, I can add a character. I can throw in some kind of development just to create a little more action, but then you got to realize, does this work with the plot logistics? Like,
yeah,
something makes sense.
That's something that Save the Cat book. Save the Cat writes a novel. It's like, yeah, so yeah, you're gonna have to go through. But as long as if you know you've got to do something like that, change something or add something, you might, you know, if you get into writing, you're probably gonna want to rewrite that outline, because otherwise you'll screw yourself up. You know, you're gonna want to hire. How do I connect this again to this? And you know, and yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to do that. But as long as I have the more general idea, like the focused idea of where I'm going,
yeah,
or where I want it to be and how it's getting there, I can probably alter as needed, you know, but I'm really good with that. Actually, I'm good with like altering the plan in most situations.
You can roll with the punches and change.
Yeah. Like really quickly. I'm like, all right, what do we got to do
quickly?
Especially in an emergency situation. So I kind of count that. I'm like, all right, emergency. I got to change this. How the hell is it going to work? And I don't let go of it until I've figured it out. It just won't come out of my brain. Like I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I'm talking about it. And people are like, shut up, Dustin, shut up. Like, we're tired of hearing about this, but I've got to get this figured out. You know?
It's interesting. I thought about writing YA, but YA is going through a I guess a transition. Why is all about realism now and like real mm-hmm. and what they're going through. And so I just want, I've always been drawn to just like a good adult page turner thriller.
Yeah.
I've been influenced by Lucy Foley, Ruth Ware, Paula Hawkins, The Woman in the Window, which was written by A.J. Finn, that's mm-hmm. pseudonym. I forgot the guy's real name. But The Woman in the Window was just, that was hugely successful. And like The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins. I feel, I have this theory that all of these suspense thrillers are like so successful and like easily, like a good, easy read is because the generation that grew up on the YA that we read in the 90s, all of the Christopher Pikes or R.L. Steins, all those thrillers, these books are kind of like the adult versions of those thrillers.
Yeah.
Really successful.
Well, they don't bog you down with so many little nuanced details that you probably don't need, you know?
It's not literary fiction, but it's like the mass market paperback, you know, thriller, fiction thrillers.
They're telling a story. They're not like painting the full picture, but they're telling you a story.
Yeah.
And you fill in the blanks yourself kind of thing. Yeah. I like it. I like that. That's what I like. I like the simplicity because I think sometimes too many details, it takes me out of it. It doesn't let me see the movie in my head. It's like, if I see an actual movie, that's one thing, but like creating it in my head and reading it, like, have you never read a book and you're like, and they don't tell you what the person really looks like until like a chapter in, and you've already decided this person's got brown hair, it's long, it's got, they've, you know, they're tall, they're skinny, they don't, and then they're the complete opposite when they describe them in the next chapter. Like, that's not who I pictured at all based on this personality, you know?
Yeah, it hasn't become that much of a prerequisite or a not that necessary as you're reading it. But have you read The Woman in the Window? This came out years ago.
No, I have not. I have not read it. But
it was, I thought it was just, it moved so quickly. Like, also, short chapters help, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That helps people move along. It makes you feel like you're making progress a lot quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think long chapters or chapters that feel too long. They can be long, but they shouldn't feel, they need to be broken up somehow.
Yeah.
You know, either stylized differently, like you have letters thrown in the middle or, you know, or text messages or something like that. Something that helps move it along to where it's like you're in
the format.
We are of a generation, especially us from the 80s, us 80s kids. We grew up with TV. Have you never noticed how movies and TV are completely different in how they're filmed now? You don't have but like quick shot to this guy, quick shot to his reaction, then their reaction, their reaction. And, you know, and you used to watch movies and whatnot. It's the same thing in movies. It's like quick flash here, that guy, this one, look over here, over there, as they're all talking. And when you watch movies from yesteryear, from like the 50s and the 60s, it's like soundstage, all one long shot. Both parties are in the scene. You're moving around them, but it's not a lot of cutaways, you know? Yeah. And our attention span is just going down because we can't focus on one thing. It's like they made us ADHD, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you read a book, even those of us who can muster up attention span to read a book, sometimes a long chapter that's just prose and blah, 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 it's intimidating because it feels like I'm never going to be done with this one chapter to get to the next chapter to get done with the book. And
yeah,
you want to break it up somehow, either shorter chapters or change the way it's told during that chapter to kind of keep your mind, something new, you know, it's kind of, you have to kind of do that because of the way we've been conditioned.
Riley Sager is good with that. I read his, The House Across the Lake, like right before the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up on some stuff because my book takes place on a lake, but during the winter time. And have you read any of Riley Sager?
I have not. I don't. It's funny. It's really sad. I stuck with primarily YA and middle grade for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I read every so often I would pick up an adult book. You know, I just didn't. It just didn't call to me. You know,
he's one of like three or four authors I really got into because they remind me they're like written for us adults who grew up on those 90s YA thrillers.
Okay.
It's like similar premises, but a little more mature, but moving at a really deliberate, swift pace.
Okay.
And very accessible. And The House Across the Lake had a batshit crazy twist.
I've seen some things in posts and whatnot. I'm like, okay, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Because I'm not like a horror aficionado. I'm not a big thriller aficionado. I see something I like and I read it. It's just...
Well, I've enjoyed him. I was hooked with his first book, Final Girls, because that concept totally sucked me in. Like taking, you know, women who have survived big traumas and, you know, massacres, escaped killers, having their own kind of story, that was really good. And then his second one was about a woman who revisits the sleepaway camp where something bad happened. And he takes familiar elements from like horror movies that we grew up with, or slasher movies, or thrillers, or mysteries, and like kind of repurposes them for the 21st century.
Okay. I think the most like recent horror or anything is Grady Hendrix that I've read. I did Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires.
And, I had to read that.
And My Best Friend's Exorcism before the movie, which much better than the movie. But I have a couple other. I think I had the Final Girl Support Group, which is sounds kind of similar in concept.
Have you started it?
No, not yet. I have it. I just haven't started. I have not started.
I loved it. I'm so glad I read it when I did, because it was sitting on my shelf for so long. Totally, you can see the movie adaptation for it.
Yeah,
and I think Charlize Theron like got the rights to it.
It's optioned it, yeah. They were supposed to do like a Southern Book Club Guide to Slaying Vampires like series on HBO Max at one point, which was Max now, but doubt that's going to happen considering how Warner Brothers is treating everybody. Anyway, so thank you. I know we're going to try to wrap this up. So yeah. Hiko, tell everybody about Fear Street Diaries and your, you know, thread on there on Instagram. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Fear Street Diaries, I started almost, it's coming up on 3 years. I kind of did it as like an exercise in nostalgia for me right before the Netflix trilogy came out. Mm-hmm. That I was so excited for, because I have a pretty extensive collection of all the books and spinoff series from Fear Street. And so I just started as like capturing like close-up photos of all the artwork of the covers that became so iconic. Bill Schmidt was like the artist who did most of the covers. They're just so like pulpy and great with the, you know, slasher movie font of each title. It was just such a strong memory and part of my, you know, preteen years and adolescence. And so I just started posting and started, you know, creating my own little kind of content within it. And yeah, I got really involved in the Bookstagram community, and it's been super fun getting to know people like you and Shelley. And it's been a lot of fun. And I'm doing a little mini series where people discuss their first Fear Street book memory that you participated in. And
speaking of which, I did ask you, like, we're going to try to do this in October. Hopefully we can do it. And reread Halloween Party, which was both our first and favorite Fear Street books. I don't know how we're going to do it, because it's such a, we've know it so well, but I'm going to try to figure out a way to do it to where it'll be a little more lively and fun and original than, you know, since it's something we've already kind of really read before. So, but we'll figure that out then. We'll get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody check out at Fear Street Diaries on Instagram, and make sure you check out Hiko. He is great. He's awesome. He does a lot of fun stuff, especially he's always posted stuff about doing things around town, and he posts those sometimes on Fear Street.
My personal Instagram is at the first echo, all spelled out.
Okay. You find him there. Mm-hmm. Find him there. Do it. He's fun. He's fun times. Thank you again for coming by and for doing the short story with me. That was a lot of fun. And I was glad to read what you came up with. I will actually, I'll post these once the episode airs and gets out there. I'll just post both stories for everybody to be able to read in case they missed anything when we were reading it, or they just want to revisit it in their own voice. So everybody check out at Dustin Can Read on Instagram, at Dustin_Holden on TikTok. And yeah, we'll see you here next time. Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Bye.